Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy. On Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, Sal.
Hank, what's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana, and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me. They got thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great car at a great price.
Uh-huh.
And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today. On Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
The Burt Show.
Let's start with some good news and some bad news. The bad news is...
It's early.
It's a little early in the morning.
Okay, so what's the good news?
Today is Thursday.
What's so good about that?
What's so good about it?
The week is almost over.
Almost over.
How long do you think a week is?
A week is a very long time.
Oh, I've had a really long week.
It's almost over.
It's almost over.
So let's get back to work.
You folks ready for a show?
It's showtime.
How's everybody doing this morning? KK, how are you?
Why don't you start with somebody else?
Well, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm good. I am breathing.
Yeah, how's the gout, man?
Flaring up.
Still.
Yeah, man.
When it starts, how long does it take to calm down a little bit where it's not so painful?
Well, the three flare-up experiences I've had have all been very different. The first one took about 4 days. The second one took a few months. And this one, I'm on day three. So I don't know.
And what do you do? Like, what are some of the things the doctor has told you when you get a flare-up? What do you have to, like, change and what do you have to do to try to, like, get it to go away? Or do you just have to be patient and let it go away?
You got to be patient. I mean, they gave me three things to take, three different medicines to try, tart cherry juice, and that's pretty much it.
That's it.
And just being patient.
Just put some vodka in that?
Of course.
Yeah.
Tequila, actually. I'm a tequila guy.
It'll take the pain away for a little bit. I promise you that.
It'll numb it a little bit.
How you doing, Abby?
I'm actually having a pretty good day. Yesterday was really eventful because, as I told y'all yesterday around the same time, I was stuck in AT&T customer service hell. And as we speak, I'm setting up my new iPhone.
Look at what a day.
I'm so excited.
What a day.
It was a really boring story, so I didn't bring it to the show. But I have been in the AT&T store for like hours on end. And then they lost the iPhone that they ordered me because they didn't put the correct address. They just put like the general plaza that the AT&T store was in.
Oh, Abby, so, I'm sorry for your loss.
I know. So it's $1,000 iPhone. Yeah. I was like, where is my phone? And they couldn't find it. And then all of a sudden my leasing office said, hey, we have a package for you. And I went down and I was like, is it going to be either cat litter or is it going to be my iPhone that costs a stupid amount of money? And they had my iPhone.
There it is.
I'm really excited. I feel like
there
a human again.
All right. What was my day yesterday? The highlight. Oh, I had a Goodwill Hunting moment in therapy yesterday. Oh, and I've never seen a therapist so excited. I cried a little bit yesterday, and she was so excited. Because what we're working on is I am a world champion compartmentalist. I mean, world champ. And it started when I was really, really young with, I don't want to get into it with my parents. They were just crappy. So I guess I checked out, right? So in order to be the, you've always been a really happy kid that my mom acknowledged last time I went up there, was pretty much because I'm just like, I put my head down as my dad would demand and just got through the emotional problem. So very rarely do I get upset about anything. And I've really worn that like as a badge of honor. And it turns out that I got to open up the floodgates on all that stuff. So I'm just, you know, they say your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. And I think me compartmentalizing all this years has just been beating up the inside of my body. So we had a moment yesterday in therapy where I just started crying a little bit because I'm just so tired of dealing with the issues, man, of my parents from so long ago. I feel like it's been a lifelong fight to just change what they started. And I had no say in how my life started. And I've just been working on becoming a better person based on how much they screwed me up. And I was just so frustrated by going through it all again yesterday, these mommy and daddy issues at my age. And I just had a breakout moment. And what brought me out of it was her being so excited about it.
I can't say I've ever had my therapist react that way.
Oh, no, she's awesome. And it was awesome because she brought me out of like that emotional place I was in. And every time we're getting to an intense part, I'll make a joke just to lighten it up. And she calls it exiting. I'm always exiting my emotions.
Yep.
And now I'm supposed to just sit in it, which I've never been good at. So I cried yesterday. Yay!
Yay!
You found an iPhone and I found an emotion.
That's how it goes.
You finally found your address. I'm excited for
you. Finally. All right, Jackson, what do you got going on? You need a signature, my friend.
Yeah, I brought this to the table last week talking about how I spent more money than I'd care to admit on a service that I don't think anybody else in the history of ever has actually paid for. And that's for someone else to create a signature for me.
Like a written signature.
Like a written signature. I've always been oddly insecure about how I've signed things forever. And so I was asking these guys, where'd the inspiration come from of where you got your signature from? And it was just such a natural response from everyone. Oh, it's just my name in cursive, or it's just something that I know how to do. And for me, whenever I go to sign anything, I hate the way that it looks, and I'm like embarrassed of it. So I got fed an ad where they basically assign you to a professional calligrapher.
Come on. There's a person that does that?
There is a person that does this.
Oh, yeah, because you were out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so you go and you check off all of the different, they give you like a bunch of different styles of different types of signatures, and you pick like your top 5 or 10. And then you get an email later on that has, once you pay, obviously, that sends a bunch of different ideas of your signature in those different styles. And then you pick which one you like, and they give you like second grade handwriting homework, and they have you trace your signature like 1,000 times.
Someone's getting paid for that.
Tell them how much you paid.
You released how much you paid.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no,
Let's try and guess it.
Yeah.
I hope you didn't pay any more than, I'll go $50.
That's exactly what I was going to say. 50, most.
$55.
Okay.
Still.
All right. $55 for somebody to look at your signature and say, these are better options.
Is this like a training? You got to train for a couple years? Or what?
Basically, so there's a Rocky montage that's going to happen of me just writing over and over and over again in different places. And then Kristen had the brilliant idea of, why'd you pay for this, you idiot? I'm sure we could do just as good of a job.
Yeah.
So she made a few ideas. She said, why don't you guys come up with a few different signature ideas of what you think that mine should look like. Okay. And then we'll compare them to what the professional looks like and we'll see.
Mm-hmm. So here are mine that I came up with for you.
See, these are so cool. These are so good. Mine, it just doesn't come across like this. So
we're giving you a signature of your name.
Of my name, okay. Yes.
Yeah, no, he's going to start signing everything Burt Weiss.
I might have to.
That was what I thought. I just did 3 random signatures, and I was going to have you choose one of them. One of them was Timothy Chalamet.
No, this needs to be specific to Jackson.
Yeah, and so I don't know. Like, for some reason, this has just bothered me forever, and I don't know why.
I would help you up, but mine is, I'll try it, but mine's terrible. I mean, so you can't read what my name is, right? And I think as a general rule, women have better handwriting than dudes do. So I hope those professionals are women, and I think you'll get a lot more out of this from Abby and Kristen. Although, Mo, I don't think I've...
My signature's horrible.
Is it terrible?
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah, I can't give you any help either. My signature is literally 2 letters because it's that bad. I just put 2 big M's and a little scribble.
M&M, like the candy?
That's it.
When people try to read mine, they say, you wrote best wishes. And no, that's Burt Weiss. They can't tell.
But you've always been cool about that. You've never had a problem with that.
Dude, I've got so many other insecurities. That would be the lowest thing on my list.
Did you just hear the man cried in therapy today? Yesterday.
That is very true. So Abby's I actually liked a lot because there's a little bit of a stylistic flair on the eye in Kim, where she made a little smiley face.
No,
there.
You did not. It was better than the original choice, which was going to be a swastika.
Oh, God. We were not doing
what? Just a prank, Adam.
What? Great prank.
Wow, that got dark quick.
Yes, it did.
It's too early for those kind of jokes. I forgot that it's 6 a.m. and not 9 a.m.
She gets her iPhone for 5 minutes, and that's where it goes. Yeah, and so they finally responded, and so I got my different ideas, and I know this is not great radio, but I will post these pictures up online, but this is what they came up with, and I like them a lot, but then I'm like, God, I'm in too deep. I've tried way too hard on something that really has no merit and no basis.
Well, it gets also to a point, I think, you know, like back in the day when I was doing term papers, the first one that I finish, I'm looking at it, I'm like, this is brilliant. And then you read it over and over and over again. And then by the end of it, you're like, this sucks. So maybe you're just looking at it too much.
But that looks computer generated, though. That's the thing. It doesn't look like a signature.
It doesn't have any character.
No.
Did I get scammed? Do you think that's just like
Yes. The person went to ChatGPT.
Said, create a signature for me.
Why did I not think
of that? Oh, yeah. What the heck? This is literally, this is not somebody's real handwriting.
No.
This is the wrong day and age to be paying for something like this.
Jackson, I don't know if you have, do you have your phone on you right now?
It's getting passed around.
I do like the second one.
Abby, why don't you put in real quick, because you have the best relationship with ChatGPT.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
See what it comes up with in 5 seconds for Jackson.
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
Right. Oh, that's,
yeah. Pass that over to Bert so he can see your computer-generated signature that has no personal flair to it whatsoever.
Yeah. Trying to think of other ways to get Jackson canceled with the signature.
I like the last one.
I do, too.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I did get one DM from someone that said that they've done this as well.
Oh, okay. One whole other person.
One whole other person is as dumb as I am.
There is somebody right now in Cheyenne, Wyoming, telling their friends that I scammed some dude out of $55 by giving him 3 suggestions that I put in the ChatGPT on what his name should be.
And now we know he scammed 2 people.
Yeah. The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
I know it's 6 a.m., but I have to bring us some really devastating news for the entertainment buzz. Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom have split officially.
Oh. Wait,
okay,
a second.
Wait, let's all take a second.
Moment of silence.
I'm also going to face.
I said silence.
Okay.
There's literally been no silence.
Zero.
No silence. We're not good at that.
Okay.
I am actually shocked by this.
No.
Yes, I am.
Confirmed, I am also shocked.
When you look at, like, their relationship and their history, the fact they have a daughter together, like, I think it's easy to say, oh, saw this coming because of the whole, like, space thing that happened recently. And I feel like her cringe factor is very high. So, of course, that would relate into her relationship and her husband would feel the same way. But she and Orlando have had a beautiful relationship for over a decade.
I guess I'm not shocked by it only because the rumors have been so hot the last couple of weeks. And of course, you never know what's real and what's not, but there have been so many of them that have planted the seed that you coming in this morning isn't shocking to me that they're breaking up.
I was shocked when the original news came out.
Yeah.
I think Katy Perry kissed the ground when she left the relationship.
I'm telling you, man, if he was like waning, like, oh, am I into this? Am I not? How she acted during that flight and got back, the ick factor was so high for him. He's like, this is it. This is the sign from God I've been looking for.
I wonder if it played any part in it.
I'm sure it might have. I also wonder, too, like, obviously, she became like the laughingstock of America, right? And she was just getting railed online, which I'm sure wasn't easy for her. So you would need a partner that's going to be able to like be by your side and lift you up and support you in, you know, in what would be like a valley for you, whether it's a career valley or a personal valley. So maybe when all that happened, he wasn't very supportive and he wasn't there for her. And it was her decision to be like, hey, listen, I got to bounce. I got to bounce on you because you didn't support me enough during this.
Yeah, I mean, we could speculate on the whole thing, you know, but to humanize it a little bit, it is 2 people getting divorced that do have a child together. Yeah. And as a guy that's gone through it, I know how sucky it is. So it sucks for them, for sure. Know.
This is really sad. And I really like them as a celebrity couple. I mean, they've been together since 2016. I really thought they were going to go the distance, but 9 years for a Hollywood couple, pretty significant amount of time.
Yeah, it's like in dog years.
Yeah. It's like in dog years.
27 years they were married.
They had an entire lifetime together. But a new unlikely couple that may be coming soon is based off of Offset's new secret celebrity crush. So he recently did an interview with Complex called Interview with a Magician, where he does an interview, like it says, with a magician. And the magician has to guess who his celebrity crush is after asking him a series of questions. And to everyone's surprise, not only did the magician guess correctly, but a lot of people, I think, were a little thrown off as to who his celebrity crush was.
Does she know you have a crush on her?
Nah.
No, you've never put it out there?
Nah.
You don't want to call her out right now?
You said don't say it.
Wait, is it artist?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not actor?
That's not an actor.
What's your favorite song by her?
You put me on the spot.
Oh, you don't know her songs? What's wrong with you?
I know her songs, but I just feel like artistically, like she got it all together.
Okay. What do you like about her?
I like her voice.
So she doesn't know.
I like how she does her stage sets.
So I wrote this earlier.
Can we look at it? Can we read it?
Yeah. You didn't tell anybody, right?
No, I didn't tell anybody. How you? This is cap. There's no way. Man, this cap. I ain't never said this before. Sabrina Carpenter.
Sabrina Carpenter is your type?
Oh, yeah. Huh?
Could you picture them two together? You go from Cardi B to Sabrina Carpenter.
But does your crush have to be your type?
It's like a crush.
No. Yeah, that's true.
Really? I don't feel like your crush has to be your type, per se, because it's a crush.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. I don't think that's his real crush, though. But
no?
I think it's cute. No, his real crush is in the castle with Stefon Diggs. His name is Cardi B.
He still has a crush on Cardi B.
That's his soulmate. Yeah,
that's both.
Maybe he's like, I know this is going to get a headline, so I'm going to say Sabrina Carpenter.
Because
if you don't even know Espresso, everybody knows Espresso. It was on every single radio station throughout the country last year.
But I think maybe he's enticed by the sexual nature that she is now producing in her marketing, that might be what he's talking
about. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. It's all adding up now. All right, Bachelor in Paradise's Jesse Palmer has a shocking confession about how the senior contestants are handling being on the show. It's on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Have you ever made plans like a week prior to something when you were in a fun social mood and then a week later you're like, yes, Thursday me was a lot more interesting than next Saturday me, and now I have to do all the plans that me last week made for me now, but I'm not in the same mood.
85% of the time.
Always, constantly. That's me when I show up for dates. I'm like, oh, gosh, I was so thirsty last week. Now I don't care. Now I don't care if I'm surrounded by my cats watching Netflix for the fourth night in a row. So I found this really fun TikTok from a creator called Eli Rallo, who created a list of things that only sound fun when you are in the right mood.
Welcome to a list I like to call things that are only fun if you're in exactly the right mood. A dinner with more than four people when you're in the right mood is so fun. But if you're not in the exact right mood to go to a group dinner, there's nothing worse. Going to a store where hunting is mandatory for finding good things. Saks OFF 5TH, Nordstrom Rack, Marshalls, TJ Maxx, all those kinds of stores. When you're
That one, I felt in my soul.
Oh, I was just writing it down also. That is so frustrating.
No, so like, I have to be in the perfect mood to go to Nordstrom Rack or TJ Maxx, because you do. You can't just walk in and just pick something, because you are going to be digging through racks. The sizes aren't everywhere they're supposed to be. And you're going to have to allot a significant amount of time and a significant amount of effort and dedication. And if you are not in the right mood, it is pointless.
There should be a huge sign outside of Nordstrom Rack and other stores like that says, if you have ADHD, do not enter this store, because it's maddening.
They should serve you Adderall at the door. You have to snort a line and then you can go in. Yeah, for me, going to like Nordstrom or something, it feels sort of like thrift shopping. Like, it's fun when you're not looking for something specific and you just stumble upon the perfect outfit. But then after that, like, I'm out.
The group dinner one doesn't bother me so much, because even in a group dinner, generally it's set up to where if you were in a great mood when you made that date, it's fine. But then if you're not as in a great mood, you're usually at one end of the table anyway, so you only are going to have to talk to four people.
I was thinking that too. Like, you just can't sit in the middle.
Yeah,
like, you got to be in a certain mood to sit in the middle, because then you got to go both ways.
That's it.
Oh, no. Real pros know you have to sit in the middle, because if you get stuck with someone like that you don't know as well and they're at one end of the table, and then you're just stuck in that one conversation for the entire dinner.
Yeah, and then everybody on the other side of the table is
having so
time in their lives.
Like, I want to be where the people are. Okay.
I'm the right mood to hunt through a TJ Maxx. Ooh, nothing is going to hit like that. When you're not in the right mood and you go into one of those, you're just going to pivot, turn, and walk right the out of there. Day drinking. It is a specific mood. Otherwise, you'll have one drink during the day and then you'll be like, this isn't worth it. And then you get in a bad mood because you're like halfway to tipsy, but still kind of feel weird. And then you have to deal with like a daytime hangover, a first date.
Okay, so I'm at the age now where if I'm going to drink, it's better to do day drinking, right? But then there's always in the back of your mind like, oh my God, I'm going to be hungover by 5 o'clock.
It's the worst.
Yeah, at that point when you come down from the drunk and you still got day left. what do I do now?
What am I going
to
do, right?
Because at night, like, you sleep through that part where you have to, like, come to your senses. Exactly. But during the day, I'm like, oh my God, I just ate 6 crumble cookies and now I'm sitting here at 7 p.m. The sun is still
out.
The
sun is beaming on you.
Now, the thing with day drinking, like, you may not be in the mood, but after you have that first drink, you get in the mood real quick.
Yeah.
That's kind of drinking period for
me.
All
right, the next one
says. In the wrong mood for a first date? No can do. No thanks. Seeing a really bad musical or a really bad movie. If you are not in the right mood, like you are really expecting to see something great, it's going to be hell. It's going to be horrible. You might leave halfway through. Making a recipe from a cookbook. Oh, if you're in the wrong mood to do this, you're overstimulated. Why the f*** doesn't my shit look like the in the pictures? You toss the whole thing out and you get delivery. Going to the beach, and hear me out. Going to the beach is an undertaking. Going to the beach, the actual act of going is not relaxing. It can be.
I would only change that to going to the beach with kids.
Yep. Mm.
Because it's a totally and completely different thing.
Uh-huh.
It's exhausting.
Uh-huh.
And then dragging all the stuff
uh-huh.
on the beach for them to only play with one thing anyway. Exhausting.
It'd be relaxing once you're there, but like you have to pack the stuff, sit in the traffic, find the parking, then you got to walk to a spot, find a spot, set it up. Then there's sand everywhere once you've set it up. Going to the beach in the wrong mood. No. Watching HBO Max Girls. If you're not in the perfectly right girls watching mood, you're going to be like, who the f*** are these b- and why are they so f- annoying? Impromptu FaceTime call. Sometimes when I get an impromptu FaceTime call, I'm like, oh God, not in the right mood for this.
Guilty. That's all I do.
It's all you do.
FaceTime calls. I cannot stay focused during a vocal call. So all I do is FaceTime calls. And I know how it goes now. 90% of the time, you see my FaceTime. You let it go to voicemail or whatever. And then I get a call 5 minutes later when you've put yourself together.
You got
to
get yourself in the mood. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
Other times I'm like, oh my God, someone to chat with. Impromptu. You're calling me. You want to talk to me. You have something to tell me. Getting your hair done. When you're in the wrong mood, you're overstimulated. You're looking at yourself in the mirror. You're in your luteal phase. Why do I look like that? Is that really what I look like? You start shaking. You're getting hot. The blow dryer. You're sweating. Horrible. And last but certainly not least, a hookup. When you're in the right mood, it's hitting. When you're in the wrong mood, it's like, I'm calling my Uber.
Truth. All of them.
All of them.
I was
going
to say about the hairstylist one, if they're extra chatty, that's...
Oh, that's what it is.
I just wanted to come in here and chill out. Now you're really asking me about my life.
That's how my barber is. He is nonstop, and I'm afraid to say something because I care about my hair.
That's right.
I don't want to offend him.
I always be making my hair appointments on Friday because I'm like, it's Friday. I'm ready to chat. I'm ready to drink. I'm ready to go out. Oh, that's so funny because Fridays, nobody talk to me. I'm spent.
Same.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I can't go out on Fridays. That's like, I don't go to bed early enough during the week when we have the show, but on Friday, it's like 8 o'clock.
I feel like we're those two old men that are complaining in the Muppets. In the theater, just complaining about everything.
The Burt Show.
We are doing 100 days of good goes round. Acts of kindness for 100 days. Today is day 25.
The Burt Show's 100 days of good goes round.
Kristen, let's go back again before we go forward. Who is Keaton and what is going down this weekend?
All right, so Keaton's 9th birthday party is this weekend, and his mom hit us up because her son, who is on the spectrum, they invited his entire 3rd grade class back in May, and not one single person RSVP'd.
Ugh.
Mama heart was broken.
She's literally crying on the radio.
He had wanted a pool party, so they were having a pool party for him at a water park, and she was just basically trying to do anything and everything to make sure her son felt loved and seen. So she hit us up and asked us if we could ask any of our Burt Show fam if they had any kids who were on or not on the spectrum who would be willing to come to the party just so he had some kids his age to play with, because their family was going to be there, but it was going to be all adults. But she really wanted him to have kids at his birthday party.
She hits us up and she's like, if you could just get a handful of people to show up for my kid so he feels a little bit on the loved side, that would be awesome. And it was just one call after the other from people going, I'll be there. I live on the other side of town, but I'll be there. We had, remember that? The lifeguards in Charleston.
Yes.
That were going to drive up to the pool. They're like, we got you, man. We're driving up. So it was going really, and it's just building and building and building.
And after the overwhelming response, we are at capacity
mm-hmm.
for Keaton's birthday party at the pool.
Wow. Including Connor. including Connor, who will be here, and his mom.
Yep, Connor from Love on the Spectrum from Netflix. And Jennifer, Keaton's mom, reached out to me. At first, she told me that Kona Ice is coming. They reached out to her and want to bring the ice cones to the kids. And yesterday, she reached out to me and says a guy is shipping them 32 pounds of Mexican candy from MyMexicanCandy.com.
Wow.
So thank you to them. And a very lovely bakery from Roswell is donating 48 cups. And this bakery has the best name ever. I want you to say, I'm going to say it, then I want you to say it quickly. I can eat a cake.
I can eat a cake.
That's genius. That's fire.
So thanks to them as well.
So this party is just built and built and built, and he's going to feel so loved and so accepted. So for everybody that has stepped up and will show up this weekend for him, can't thank you enough. And you know mom's going to come back on and thank you guys as well. All right, so that's in the past. What do we got for day 25?
All right, so I got a DM from Burt Show listener Kelsey, and it goes, LaBooBoo! LaBooBoo! It was literally written in all caps. My son is begging for a LaBooBoo because of you! And then crying laughing emojis. And then she goes on to say, I'm not yelling, I promise. Just wanted to grab your attention. But also, it is true. We listen to the Burt Show podcast every morning when taking my husband to work. He heard the recent episode with the LaBooBoo song and then requested I show him the video of this and show him other LaBooBoos. He is now obsessed. Tommy, do we have the LaBooBoo song?
Well, when you say it, you got to play it.
That's what our special forces use that to torture prisoners of war. All right, so now he's obsessed. We already love blind box items anyway, but he just thinks these are the cutest, and he's been singing the song all day. Mama, I am so sorry. He's six, if I didn't mention that. So when they get stuck on something, it's for a good while. So I'm going to blame you guys for that and going to need you to get him a LaBooBoo stat. Just kidding. But if you really wanted to, I think that would make his entire summer. To get one and it be from the show we listen to every morning. We love you guys. So we have Kelsey on the line and her son, John, who is six. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, John.
Hi.
Hi.
I want him to host the show.
Okay. John, were you excited to hear your LaBooBoo song again?
Yeah.
We should play it again.
Well,
don't
play it because John has been singing it. So, John, would you sing the song for us?
Sing it. La boo boo, la boo boo, la boo boo.
And he knows all the words. Yeah. What a kid.
So, Kelsey, ever since we talked about la boo boos and played that song, on average, how many times a day is John asking you for a la boo boo?
We started a good 10. That's like a good minimum.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Depends on if he's singing the song that day or if you guys have played it, you know?
Yeah, we caused this problem.
We did. And I you know what? I take full responsibility here. So what's funny, Kelsey, is you had sent that DM. And literally that day, no joke, off air, I had a random conversation with Rebecca, our social media producer. So this felt very kismet. This felt very meant to be. So I am now going to turn this 100 Days of Good over to our social media director, Rebecca, because of something she mentioned to me off air before I read your DM.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Kelsey. Hello, John.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. So, John, we have a lot in common. Even though you're six and I am a 31-year-old woman, your story affected me very deeply because I, too, remember when I wanted a LaBooBoo so bad and I was LaBooBoo-less. So I wanted to do something very special for you. After I talked about my love for LaBooBoos, I have received a plethora of LaBooBoos. So I have something very special for you. I have a LaBooBoo for you.
Hey, LaBooBoo for you.
I love you.
Now, the way these things work, it doesn't say on the outside exactly what it is, right?
No.
So he'll know once
he
gets
it. That's the whole fun.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. It is an unopened, have a seat, LaBooBoo. So there are many options inside. Maybe you'll even get the secret one. That'd be great. I would regret giving it to you, but I'd still be excited for you.
So, John, just because I know Kelsey, he's going to be asking, and I know you guys are awesome Kansas City listeners. We are going to get this LaBooBoo in the mail today. We will give you a tracking number so you can know exactly when that LaBooBoo is going to arrive. And then, John, I have a favor to ask of you, okay?
Okay.
All right. You have to film yourself opening it, okay? Because it's a blind box item. So make sure your mama films you opening it so we all can see which LaBooBoo you got, okay?
Okay.
You ain't had to twist his own.
No.
Yeah, and also, we need that video to go viral, John. All right, you guys have a great day. Thank you so much for listening. And please send us that video. It'll be awesome.
Of course. Thank you guys so much. All right. We love you guys.
Thank you. And look at this, a 6-year-old that knows what the radio is.
Yay. Yay. There is hope.
It's a Christmas miracle.
The Burt Show.
I was a complete and total fraud for about an hour to my girlfriend, and I will confess here in just a couple of seconds. But however, just as a show of strength, because it has been Abby and Katie and Rebecca trying to pull me in to watch Love Island. They got me for one episode before I realized I can't do this. I'm just at an age where these dating reality TV shows that seemingly make up the rules as they go along, and there's nothing but fights and drama. I can't do it. I just can't.
We get it. You're so much better than us.
Nah, it's just I'm so much older than you. But the lore of it has been there. Like, I watched the first episode almost all the way through. And now when I see headlines with people that I know from the show that are in the next show or the show after that or the next episode, I'm so intrigued by the storyline. And I always want to go back, but I haven't yet. But I needed to fill that time because not watching TV is not an option in my house. So I stumbled on Netflix's new documentary. Have you guys heard of this? Poop Cruise?
Yes!
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it
yet.
I'm excited to watch it.
You got to watch it. First of all, it's not that long.
No, it's like 55 minutes, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. But do you remember, and I barely remember this, back in 2013, there was a Carnival Cruise Lines ship that was only going like on a 2-day cruise. I think it was supposed to go from like Galveston to Cozumel or something like that.
It was more. It took 2 days for it to go from Galveston to Cozumel, and then they docked in Cozumel, and then they had another day at sea when they went back to Galveston.
So they had this like electrical fire, and it shuts down all the electricity on the ship, right? So heaven forbid the Wi-Fi went down. That is just the least of your concerns because all the electricity goes off and then none of the toilets are working. There's no air conditioning,
no toilets,
no lighting, nothing on this ship as it's in the middle of the Gulf, middle of the ocean, and they can't do anything about it. So
it's a sitting duck because there's no propellers. There's the ship is not moving because there is no energy to the ship. There's no electricity to the ship.
Wow.
So they're literally just sitting there floating in the middle of the ocean. And there's this woman named Jen who was like the announcer for like all the games and the parties. And she was like the voice of the Carnival Triumph, right? And she has like this fabulous British accent. And everybody that they're interviewing, because they're interviewing a woman who had her bachelorette party on this cruise. They're interviewing a guy who was going on a cruise with his fiance's family for the first time and like trying to impress the dad.
Dad and his daughter. He had just gotten divorced and he wanted a trip just for him and his daughter to bond. They're on this trip also. As he's retelling the story, he's crying during the documentary.
So they get to the point where they have to tell everybody, you can't use the toilets, okay? So voice Jen has to get over the loudspeaker and tell everybody on the 4,000 people on this cruise that if you have to go number one, you go in the shower. If you have to go number two, they're passing out red biohazard bags and you have to poop in the bag and then dispose of it.
That's insane.
And you're supposed to leave it outside of your cabin door in the hall. and the staff is going to pick it up.
They're going to pick it up?
Yes.
No.
Oh, my God.
There were people on the ship confessing that I took Imodium immediately because I was not going to do that in the bag.
Yep.
There was one guy that was holding out, and he's like, there's just no way. For 3 days, 4 days, I was just holding it in. But here's the thing is that not only are they going number one in the shower, but some people were still using the toilets for number two. So all of this raw sewage is coming out of the toilet and onto the floors of their suites. But then when a tugboat comes and tries to get it into shore, it tips the boat. So all of this sewage is out of the suites now, into the halls, into the main areas. You can't get away from it. People are walking around in it in their bare feet.
It was up to their ankles?
Up to their ankles.
Oh, my God. Nah.
It was terrible, but you must watch it.
Yeah, listen, like the way they did it, it's super cheesy. It's very corny, but it's so entertaining.
It's okay. Really entertaining.
And again, it's less than an hour, but I forgot about the poop cruise.
So
like,
did I.
They have like an HLN anchor who covered it, and like they're because like this became such a like a national phenomenon. People were so invested in the poop cruise and how they were going to get off this cruise.
Well, there was a new dude running CNN.
I didn't either.
And their ratings sucked really bad. And this guy said, you know what? America will love this story. So I want cameras out there. I want it the only thing on CNN. There's all sorts of stuff going on in the world, man. Stuff going on in Iraq. Stuff going on in like North Korea. And he's like, I want you guys to focus on all of this stuff that's going on this cruise. And their ratings soared.
I bet.
Soared. It's on Netflix and it's called Trainwreck Poop Cruise, I think.
Dude, all you need to know is Poop Cruise.
Yeah.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Speaking of highly entertaining train wreck TV, Jesse Palmer is speaking about the newest season of Bachelor in Paradise. Is this going to be the season that saves the Bachelor franchise? Because right now, the only thing going under more than that poop cruise is the Bachelor franchise.
I feel like the Bachelor franchise is going away because of shows like Love Island that are even more dramatic now and really truly less about like really finding the love of your life, and it's really just becoming more dramatic. It's a different level now.
Well, I think the Bachelor franchise has just gotten a little bit stagnant. Like, it's the same thing every season, and unless the leads or the cast members do something shocking or just entertaining for you to follow, then it's just kind of like, man, like, will they end up? Okay, no, they're gonna break up 3 months after their People magazine expose, and it's just kind of the same thing, rinse, wash, repeat. So Bachelor in Paradise is the closest thing that the Bachelor franchise has to a Love Island or something with the kind of drama that Love is Blind has. And this year, they've shaken things up a little bit because it's not just young hotties on the island. Now, it's also the seniors from the Golden Bachelor franchise. So it's like the 30-year-olds who are quote-unquote looking for love, aka looking for Instagram followers, and then also the senior citizens that have been involved in the Golden Bachelor franchise.
I'm here for this.
So are the producers hoping like a 30-year-old falls in love with a 60-year-old?
Of course they're hoping for that. Are you kidding?
All right.
So Jesse Palmer, who is the host of the franchise, has come out and talked about what that new dynamic is going to be like. Because a lot of people are like, oh, dear God, is it going to be like Gary hooking up with, you know, so-and-so Jessica from last season?
Do you think they got inspo from Bill Belichick? Like, it happens in real life. Why can't it happen on Bachelor in Paradise?
Maybe.
It sounds intriguing enough to give a try.
So here's what Jesse Palmer is saying about the newest season of Bachelor in Paradise. Jesse Palmer said that the older cast injected the most energy into the show, more than expected, and quote unquote went so hard from day one. There were extra wild nights, poolside parties that went on late, with quote makeout sessions in the pool and body shots, all led by the Golden Group. But of course, there was some debauchery, but there was also some wholesome moments as well. He says there was some generational mentoring. So he said the producers really encouraged the younger cast to lean on the Golden contestants for perspective and relationships on life. And he said this was really great because, of course, like the older generation isn't coming on to get influencer status right. or brand deals for teeth whitener. So it's just a little bit more of a different dynamic. So I'm honestly really intrigued by this and very excited to see how this is going to play out, because I think we need some more reality TV that's just fun, lighthearted, and mindless. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like this is what they're going to give us. Okay, speaking of something that might not be quite as mindless, something that might make you think about your life and your perspective and your childhood a little bit more, one of the stars from my childhood TV show, this was the Bluey of my day, Steve from Blue's Clues, is launching a podcast, but he's launching a podcast for adults. Now, I wish Cassie was here to talk about this, because she's seen him on Instagram, and he kind of has like these moments where he'll just kind of sit with you. He'll just put a camera in front of his face, and he'll be in like a field, and I'll be like, I just want to hear about your day. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like ASMR, but for your soul. You're like sitting there, you're like, oh my God, this man is listening to me.
Meanwhile, it does come off like he really cares.
It really does come off like he really cares. And so here is what he says his podcast is going to be like for his new adult listeners who grew up with him.
It's basically a societal requirement at this point that everyone has a podcast. Why don't we have one? You and I. It could basically be what we've always done. You and I have always been about this deep and curious investigation of our world in search of these little bits of information that lead to greater understanding. Sounds like a podcast to me. I mean, it used to be about shapes and colors and letters and numbers and vegetables and stuff, but now it could really be about everything that makes it so weird and wonderful to be alive. I'm excited. I am. I'm excited.
That's great.
It's going to be so good.
Cool. That's great.
Kristen, can you imagine in 20 years if the voice of Bluey has a podcast? It's like, Mommy, Bingo, and I used to be there for you all the time, and now we have a podcast.
Okay, we need to work on your Australian accent. But I would 1,000% be there for it.
All right, celebrity chef Ann Burrell's cause of death is currently being investigated, and authorities believe they have a lead on how she passed. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.